Hello everyone, welcome to Under the Abbey Stand and happy bank holiday weekend. And it certainly was a happy weekend for the Ewes. Another home win, another clean sheet. What on earth were we all worried about? I'm Julian Roberts, your host for this week. And as usual, I've got a panel joining me to look at Saturday's hard fought 3 points and to do a bit of a roundup of United's start to the season. It's our first guest of the season on the show actually today. Actually the first ever guest on UTAS, so we're throwing it back to the dark days 3 or more years ago. So Matt Ramsey, great to have you along.
Thank you for having me back. Slightly more happy stuff to talk about on the pitch as well. So that makes a nice change from when I've been on before.
Everything's more upbeat now. Back in the day, it was Jez and it was Derry. We're all in a much better place at the moment.
I'll happily never speak about Sean Derry ever again. So let's make that the last mention to him today.
Fantastic. And the pod stalwart, of course, Tom Walker. How are you getting on, mate?
Yeah, all good. Good to be back again.
You had a good weekend?
Yeah, so far. So far, so good.
So far, only halfway through. Well, listen, let's get straight into it. Saturday's 1-0 win over Bolton was the second home win of the season. Another clean sheet. The Ewes only had 26% possession on Saturday. Matt, do you think that tells the story of the game? Or was it... was it a merited backs against the walls performance, or was there sort of an element of good fortune to the result?
I don't think there was any good fortune to it, because if you defend as well as United did yesterday, then you deserve what you get, really. And you can look at it and say, well, Bolton had so much of the ball, and in the second half, they had so much of the territory as well. But the first thing that Mark Bonner said post-match, really, after the game yesterday, was for all of that, which is undeniably true, Jimmy Mitov has only made one big save in the game. And, that's a reflection on how well the defence has done. There's one header that got deflected onto the post and then Afolayan had a chance that Mitov saved with his legs. If we're talking about being 1-0 up with 75 minutes left and then only really having those two chances, one save in 75 minutes, then you'd probably say that Bolton didn't do enough to actually force the goal, even though obviously it was incredibly nervy for the entire second half, just because it was fairly incessant pressure.
Yeah, I mean, possession stats don't win you points by themselves, right? So do you think it was one of those very sort of clever performances that we're going to need to see a few of this season to stay up?
Yeah, that's another thing that Mark said after the game as well. He said, obviously, you'd love to see kind of people flying forward, playing exciting, attacking stuff, but you need to really just... acknowledge that going into a new league against some of the clubs that can get such good squads, and I think you can count Bolton in that definitely with the squad that they've got, we're going to have games where we have less of the ball than they do and less of the territory than they do. It means that your defence is going to have to play well, and actually you could start all the way with Joe Ironside up front, sort of leading the line, fighting those battles on his own all the way back. The whole team had to do those jobs and did do it really brilliantly well. So, I think that if you actually come out with a clean sheet on the end of it, then as much as it's not exactly champagne football, it's definitely a case of really appreciating how well the team did.
And last week's pod, we had a lovely chap, a lovely Bolton fan from the Lions of Vienna Suite podcast. And Tom, he said his prediction was a 2-0 Bolton win, and we were very, very complimentary of them in our preview. So would you describe it as a bit of a sort of statement win, or is that maybe taking it a bit too far at this stage of the season?
Yeah, it's maybe taking it a little far. But when you look back to the last game that we played against them, when they were significantly better than us, and it was, I think, 2-1 on the night, but... really could have been sort of 4, 5, 6, with all the sort of chances they had that night. And you look back to yesterday, we limited them to virtually nothing. The expected goals tells a pretty similar story. Ours was 0.7, theirs was 1. So there wasn't too much in it. I think if that was like 2.5, 3 for Bolton, something like that, then you can maybe say that we sort of got away with one a little bit. But I think it was a statement win in that, we competed very well against a team who are expected to probably do better than us this year. And I think if you look at the fixtures that we've got and the kind of league as a whole, there's probably only going to be 3 or 4 games that we go into this season as the sort of favourites. And that's basically the games against Morecambe and potentially Cheltenham. So we were up against it, but we clearly set out to play in a way that, without having the ball, we almost controlled the game through our structure and our sort of shape. And it's then just sort of on bolt and, you know, what can you do with it? And it was basically a case of the goalkeeper would pass it to the centre-back, who would pass it to one of the full-backs, and they try and cross it into the box, but it's just met with basically Lloyd Jones' forehead. And that was basically the case for, I guess, 70, 75 minutes after, you know, a pretty good start from us. So, it's a good win. It's a really, really sort of fun day at the Abbey. I mean, that's kind of one of my main takeaways from it. It's just good being there at the moment. We said it again, you know, for the game against Burton, and it was kind of exactly the same yesterday. And it's good to see a decent sized away following. And I thought to start the game, we sort of did what we needed to do in terms of taking it to them. And then, it was just a case of basically seeing out for 70, 75 minutes. And it's not always comfortable when you're there and sort of in the moment and watching it. You know, it felt for long times to me like a Bolton goal was only sort of moments away. But, when you look back and you look at the highlights, there really wasn't too much that we actually had to worry about.
Very good point you made there, Tom. I think it's just something we spoke about after the Burton game is the feeling of fun at the Abbey. And it's funny that we've got Matt on this week. You said we wouldn't mention Derry again, but I'm going to say I'll say his name one more time. But even under Calderwood, like so many times where going to the Abbey was not a chore, but like there wasn't a lot of excitement to it. So many bleak days, and like the good times really do seem to be back. And it's you know, we can sort of extrapolate yesterday's result over the course of the season, and it's such a long way to go. But even just the sense of enjoying going to football again, and the sense that the difference that will have on the squad, and making the Abbey that bit of a fortress with great support, is going to be really, really important over the season. Speaking of the season, Matt, do you think, before we get into sort of specific players and formations and for the game yesterday and that sort of stuff, do you think that the result is also indicative of just sort of how strong this division actually is, where we are probably a very unfancied side, where and Bolton are probably one of the more fancied sides? And it just shows that anyone can beat anyone in this league.
You can say that yesterday, and you can say that with the previous Saturday as well, because remember that as much as Burton are never seen as one of the big teams in the league, they are a team that's never come back down to League Two, having gone up, I think, 7 years ago. And when United played them, they'd got three wins out of three, and we beat them 3-0. So people probably didn't see that coming. And really, you can look throughout the whole season so far. There was about half an hour at Accrington is the only time when United have looked a bit suspect in five league games so far. So I think that the fact that they've put a few wins and a few clean sheets on top of encouraging performances doesn't mean that we'll stay up, doesn't mean anything else, but it does mean that it's proving to everyone that at the very least they'll be competitive. And in order to do that, you need to come out of the game knowing that they put in a hell of a shift. And to mention that previous head coach, who I'm not remembering very fondly, if you look at those kind of times, if you look at the Calderwood days, the Joe Dunn days, you can always accept losing games, but actually it's the kind of the output can lack sometimes, because that's what happens when you support a lower league club. But the input, the way that they kind of applied themselves, sometimes it could be debated, and if things were going against them, you could say they're a bit of a soft touch. And you can't ever say that against the team when Mark Bonner's been in charge. And there's, you know, if they'd have let in a goal to a late Bolton equaliser yesterday, it would have been a bit deflating to have drawn rather than won. But you would never change the fact that they came off the pitch having put in an incredible shift throughout the whole team. And obviously, when you can add in the output of getting promoted last year and keeping a clean sheet under that kind of pressure yesterday, then obviously it's a time when people are going to acknowledge that it's a good time to be watching the club and a good time to be at the Abbey.
Yeah, so I think that's a really good point to make, actually, Matt, just about, you know, not being a soft touch. I think in sort of years gone by, we've been beaten quite easily by teams who aren't, you know, on paper that good. So to be able to do that against Bolton and show that, and then obviously there was the game at Plymouth as well where we took a point out of that, and managed to obviously, you know, beat a decent Burton team. Like going forward, that's so encouraging, just because, you know, we know that for long parts of the season we are just going to be, you know, trying to survive basically. So to be able to go to some of the grounds, you know, like the Portsmouth, for example, where we've typically struggled, the Sunderlands, the Ipswiches that we keep talking about, and be able to sort of stand up to that sort of pressure, that's a really encouraging sign, even kind of at this stage.
We've actually had a question on Bonner, which I'll give to you, Matt, from Tom Neat. He said, do we have the most tactically adept and skillful manager in the EFL when equated to his age?
Do you want to just edit that out and not say subject to his age? You could just say, is he an adept manager, you know, adept head coach? I think he's kind of shown that, because in terms of how you compare him to the rest of the league, obviously, who knows, and it is still relatively early on, but he got things exactly right last year, playing up to Paul Mullen and getting him to score the goals which he didn't have the history of. And obviously this year, again, we have to stress that it is early days, but if you look at the two wins that we've had, one of them came with two recognised strikers, one of them came with one recognised striker. And I think that's the one that you look at, obviously, as a start point, but you can also probably point to who got to play at centre-back in different games, because obviously there was the time when we were rapidly running out of them. But Mark was asked about Masterson coming into the team against Burton, whether, you know, how much of a decision that was. And he kind of said it was a fairly easy decision because he's a centre-back and we only had one other centre-back. But equally, he said against Plymouth, he had absolutely no hesitation putting Iredale at centre-back because, you know, it's dealing with a Plymouth team who are going to pass the ball around rather than go long. But then against Burton, they were a bit more direct. And so all of a sudden, you'd want Iredale at left-back and Masterson can come in and play there. So he's completely aware not only of his own players and what they can do, but also of what the opposition's characteristics are and the level of preparation that they have and that the team then get given. It must be, you know, really detailed, and that's down to him and what he's getting his scouts and whoever to look at and knowing what the opposition players are and what they do. And that's going to impact and influence not only necessarily the players, but also the system that United are going to play at different stages in the season. And at this point, obviously, it looks like we've got a squad that can shuffle between a couple of different ones, depending on the state of the game or if someone has to go off or whatever. That means that we can be fairly confident that there's a plan A and a plan B, rather than just a plan A where things start going a bit wobbly if things aren't going to plan with the plan A.
I think that's a really, really good point. And it's something we've spoken about before in terms of the different formations that Bonner will employ depending on the opponent. And what we've said is that we probably don't have a best team. We have a best team for an opposition. So, Tom, did you find it interesting yesterday that Bonner went back to one up top and sort of matching up Bolton a bit?
Yeah, I think it's to be expected, really. I think he's clearly playing the opposition rather than having sort of, you know, our way or the highway sort of thing, really. And I think it just set us up so well yesterday. Like, clearly, like, you rely on good performances, of course, but like, I think the base that system gives us in these sorts of games is so crucial. And I think, just to kind of, you know, speak about Bonner, I think we probably didn't, maybe in some ways, didn't give him enough credit last season for what his role in that was. You know, we talked obviously about a lot of standout performances, the Mullins, the Houlihans, the Noyles from last season, of course. But you know, if I look at the two dugouts yesterday, obviously in one you've got Ian Everett and the other one you've got Bonner. I mean, it's so good to be able to have someone like Bonner there, and, you know, obviously in that situation, he's very aware. He knows how to set a team up for different situations. He obviously articulates himself very well. And I think what's so important for us playing at a level that we've obviously not been at for the last 20 years, to be able to squeeze sort of every last bit of value out of the players that he's got available to him. That's such a skill. You know, to be able to do that, you know, how many times have we, you know, sat here and talked about players who've sort of been there and done it and come to Cambridge and obviously it's not kind of worked out, but he's almost doing the reverse. You know, he's taking guys like Jones, who got relegated last season, Williams, who got relegated last season. You know, you can go back the year before with Digby, who obviously came in off the back of a really poor season with Stevenage. And these players look like brilliant footballers, you know, already at this level. You know, they're so comfortable. And a lot of that just comes down to the way that Bonner sets the team up. And I think yesterday, that's essentially, you know, what won us the game. It gave Bolton no room to sort of play through us. So like I said previously, they sort of had to try and go around us and try and cross it into the box. And when you set up, like, you know, the sort of way that we did, it makes it very difficult to break down. So I think the way that he's been able to go from where we were last season, which was a team who was scoring goals for fun, basically, you know, competing at the top end of a division, and basically just kind of tweak his approach to things based on the challenge that lies ahead. That's going to be such an asset for us, and hopefully it's going to kind of get us over the line when we talk about kind of getting towards the end of the season. But I think in terms of the actual system that we played, I think that's something that we are going to see in games like this quite a lot, to be honest. So, you know, if we're going away from home to some of the bigger grounds, to some of the bigger teams, when we're playing, you know, teams like Bolton, who have such sort of attacking strength, we probably are going to revert to, you know, sort of one striker up front and, you know, obviously put another body in midfield.
So we've spoken about the system. We've spoken about the manager yesterday. I'll come to both of you on this. Who were your standout performers from the game, Matt? Was there, I mean, I'm sure there was a few, but is there anyone in particular that you wanted to call out?
I think it's a sign of a good day where you could probably ask a few different people and you're going to get several different answers. And that's always encouraging. I think there are two obvious ones for me, which is Masterson and Jones, the two centre-backs, just because if you come out of that game with a clean sheet, then that's big. And obviously, it's not exactly a partnership that's been thrown together because they know each other from playing academy football at Liverpool, which I think was part of the thinking of getting Masterson in. But when you've got people winning headers as much as they did in the box, just kind of commanding the box under so much pressure for an extended period of time, I thought those two were the ones that I really called out. But I mean, it's probably harsh on everyone else, really, because I think given the fact that he was on a yellow for an hour, Jack Iredale had to do a hell of a lot of work in the fullback slot. And the big danger man really for Bolton was Afellayan, and obviously he was going up against George Williams. So the fact that between them, they've all come out with a clean sheet, and the one time they get broken down is when Mitov makes his big save, then you know, it's good. It's good really across the unit. And Joe Ironside is such a warrior up front. He was obviously getting proving to be a handful, literally a handful for the defenders who were wrestling him so much. And the work that he was doing just helps relieve the pressure on the occasions when United got the ball away. So I think that really, as much as I would probably pick Masterson and Jones as my two standouts in partnership, it really was a team effort, and they're the kind of things that we're going to need to see if we're going to keeping clean sheets.
Idale's a really, really good shout. I think there was a few people pre-season that I spoke to that thought that left back area was we were going to be a bit light back there, but he's shown himself in the first five games to be so versatile and so adept at this level. Tom, any standout performers?
Yeah, I thought Idale. I think he was the one for me. Like, yeah, I think of the players that they sort of came up against, I think he probably had on paper the most difficult afternoon. You know, obviously Afellayan's a player who's caused teams at this level problems already. And it's clearly a very, very tricky player to go up against. But, you know, like so many of the others, you know, just kind of limited him to virtually nothing. Ironside had a bit of a thankless task, I think, up front, to be honest. He was basically being manhandled by Santos all afternoon. And he did what he did for so much of last season, just taking the hits, you know, giving them sort of not a moment's rest. Digby as well, just excellent yesterday. I mean, I think all fans love that sort of player. You know, you obviously quite like Tom Champion, I think, Julian, and he's that sort of player, isn't he? He's, I think when he plays, I think actually, to be honest, with someone like Digby, I think when they play well, you don't really notice that they're there. And I think he had one of those afternoons where he just sort of controlled things. And so I think Iredale was probably the standout just because of, you know, the way that he handled a difficult opponent, particularly on a booking, which, you know, is clearly a challenge when, you know, someone's basically trying to get past you all afternoon. But to handle it that well, I thought was really impressive. It'd be silly not to mention the two centre-backs, but I think they'll probably get enough praise from elsewhere. So I think I'll probably stick with Iredale and probably our man, the digger.
Yeah, we've actually had a great question on Paul Digby from a friend of the pod, Liam Camp, who said, has Digby ever lost a header in his own box? And I'm afraid I don't have the stats in front of me, but I'd venture a no at that. Well, let's wrap it up there for the first part. We'll be back in the second part for a bit of a look back at August and United's first five games of the season. Right, welcome back to part two. This is normally the part of the show where we do a preview of our upcoming fixtures. Normally we try and speak to an opposition fan. This week, the Doncaster game has bizarrely been called off for international call-ups. And if that's not United in the big time, then I don't know what is. But let's be honest, they're probably just a bit scared of playing Wes on a Saturday. So why not move it to a Tuesday? Less said about it, the better. Let's use this period to have a bit of a August roundup. Look at United's start to the season. Thanks for sending for all your questions. I'm just going to start with quite a simple one. Matt, if you're looking at the first five league games of the season, would you have taken 8 points before the start of the season?
Yeah, I think you would, absolutely, because one loss in five by any standards really is decent going. Even if you're the favourites for the League Two title or League One title or whatever, one in five is hardly going to be a bad start. And when it's a club who's just gone fairly unexpectedly into a new division, then even more so. And I think you can balance off performances and results, because after three games, we hadn't won one. So everyone would be fairly cautious, but saying actually we're playing pretty well in most of the time. And then they've then gone and added another two and two wins and two clean sheets. So, yeah, I think that... We need to not get ahead of ourselves, obviously, because we're so early in the season that if you lose the next two, you only need to lose two games and all of a sudden you're looking down the league. If you win the next one or two, then everyone gets a bit silly and starts thinking we're going to win the league and stuff like that. So if you take those five on its own, then yeah, really encouraging.
That was the first thing you said when you joined the call, when we just had a very quick chat about Saturday's game. And I don't know if it's ringing true with all United fans. We've had a question from Josh Cornwell. This one's for you, Tom. After our start to the season, are any of you questioning where you predicted us to finish? And do you believe we could actually mount another promotion campaign?
Yeah, I've had to adjust mine a little bit because I don't think we're going to win the league anymore. As I went into this season, certain we were going to romp home to League One title glory. A little bit. But I do think it's important not to get kind of too sort of carried away at this stage. I mean, I think, to be honest, we've done better than I thought we would so far. I've been actually quite impressed by how well we've been able to compete in some of these games, particularly the Oxford and Bolton games, which I thought were going to be very, very difficult encounters, basically. I know we were a little bit worried coming out of the Accrington game about sort of, you know, where our points going to come from. Obviously, it was, I think, the second league game of the season, so it's, you know, maybe a bit early for that. But yeah, I think... I was cautiously optimistic that we would survive going into the season. I think now there's some real basis to that, to think that we can basically do what we want, and that's to stay up and, you know, continue like this, and it'll be quite comfortable. And that would be, I think, for, you know, for the sort of vast majority, a very, very successful season. So we've gone better than I thought we would, and I'd like to see more of the same, please.
We've had a good question from Russ Greaves as well, actually, who I'll stick with you, Tom, for this. He's put a bet on top half finish for the U's. As top tipster Tom Walker, what do you reckon?
The less said about my betting prowess, the better. I think top half would be a really, really good effort. My concern would be that if we look like we're going to sort of be in the top half, there might be one or two prying eyes on our gaffer. But yeah, fair enough. Hope he wins it. Good luck to the man.
he's also asked us about Charlo Tracy, who I think is an interesting player that we haven't mentioned yet in the show. Obviously scored the goal against Bolton on Saturday. Matt, Russ has said, I want bold predictions regarding Charlo Tracy's potential, because if he carries on like this, he could get a dream move to Wrexham. Which did make me chuckle. But how have you rated Charlo's performances so far this season?
Well, I think he certainly deserves the praise yesterday, and it's probably harsh that when we were going through the star players of the game that we didn't mention the man who obviously scored the winner. I think there's a term, just a word of war, which always gets given to people who are either wingers or strikers who are young and unproven and very fast. And that's the kind of thing that you have to put on to him, because he's clearly got ability, and that's why he would have been on the books at Spurs before. I think that with him, he just needs to learn about confidence a bit, because the game against Millwall, he had a few chances just to take people on and just scare people. And he sort of turned down the chance to try. And, you know, I'm no psychologist, but he kind of just looks like he needs to be a bit more fearless. And if you look at the game against Plymouth, he won the penalty. And that's what happens when he does it, because he took a man on, completely beat him, got brought down, fouled, penalty. And you want to see that. And I think that he's the kind of player, hopefully he can have higher expectations of his career than going on to play for giant Wrexham or whatever. But I think that obviously he did well yesterday, and he was actually getting some end products to his potential. And I think he's the kind of player where it's hard to really know what to expect for where he's going to go. But if he can just be an exciting winger and obviously be valuable, trying to offer a bit of defensive cover as well, then he's a player that people could be excited about. And obviously people like to see that kind of player. And if he adds winning goals like he did yesterday, then all the better for it as well.
Yeah, that unpredictability with him, I think, is something that is a real, he's a real danger, I think. And every time I've seen him play, I've rated him a little bit higher each time. Someone else who I've rated very highly for the start of the season is Captain George Williams at right back. We had a question from Stephen Lodziak, who said, have we lost or gained in the right back department with Noyle versus Williams? Tom, what do you reckon?
I think that's an interesting one, actually. And I would answer that by saying I don't think we've either lost or gained. I think we've, you know, in Noyle, clearly he's a player with immense ability, and probably we expected him to be playing maybe a level higher, and certainly not for a team at the bottom of the league with 1.5 games. But, you know, I'm sure that'll sort out. But Noyle obviously had qualities that last season were very, very well suited to a team who are sort of, you know, basically trying to get promoted. And I think what we've done actually is get a player who's maybe a bit better suited to the sort of situation that we're in, which is that, you know, we're going to be trying to stay up. That's not to say that Noyle wasn't a good defensive player, because obviously he was, but I think in terms of Williams, that's obviously kind of his bag, is, you know, sort of being able to, you know, shore things up. And I think the experience that we brought in with, you know, specifically with Williams at this level is also going to be invaluable. But I think probably so far, I think he can certainly, you know, there's certainly a decent argument that he's maybe been our player of the season so far. Clearly there's one or two others who have played very well. You know, Mitov started very well, Ironside's got a couple of goals, so you know, they're obviously also in that conversation. But I think Williams has been a really quality addition, and one that I think is going to be really important to pretty much everything that we do this season.
Yeah, it's probably worth mentioning his goal at Millwall, actually, which is something that we haven't spoke about, which was a good performance despite the result, but great finish.
He flew into the box, didn't he, Julian?
Excellent. This little running joke is fast. It's become very tiring for a lot of people, I think.
We have to stop this.
Yeah. That's enough on Brigadier George Williams, I think, for now. But as a more sort of general look at the first five games, Matt, just to close off our sort of August chat, what do you think we've actually learned about the squad and the manager in these opening games that maybe hadn't expected before the season?
I'm not sure necessarily that it's unexpected, but I think it just reinforces the point that you can be fairly confident going into a game that there's going to be a team that's going to play for each other. And if you come off the pitch, win, lose or draw, realistically, you can't hope for much more than that. And obviously, they've shown no lack of actual quality as well as just kind of fighting quality, which has helped them get results. And as much as I'm not going to get as excited as some of the people who've been tweeting in saying what odds on us winning the league or even top half, I think that, you know, even if the club goes on a bit of a sticky patch, which is bound to happen at some point, I think that they're just earning themselves so much credit with the way that they're applying themselves to those games. And that's one of the best things that they can have, and obviously see where it takes them, really. And then the other thing that we've learned is obviously what we've already discussed, really, just the fact that we can be flexible in the system that we're playing. And in a fairly small sample size of games so far, they've shown that they can not only play a couple of different systems, but win with a couple of different systems as well. And I think that can only help confidence within the group and the people in the terraces watching them.
Absolutely. All in all, a very, very good August, I would say. But it's a long, long old season, 41 games to go. Speaking of games coming up, just having a quick glance at September, obviously that Doncaster fixture is to be rescheduled. But Tom, just having a quick look at who we've got coming up, Lincoln at home, Pompey away, Fleetwood at home, and then Gillingham at home. What's your prediction for the month? Where do you see points coming from? Do you think do you see it as a good opportunity for the Ewes to get some more points on the board?
Yeah, definitely. I think specifically in terms of Gillingham and Fleetwood, they're games that I would like us to look to go and win. I think their teams are probably going to be in and around the drop zone. Obviously, you know, go to Portsmouth and play Lincoln are, you know, different challenges, and that's probably where I expect we'll see the sort of performance that, obviously, hopefully is good, but a similar sort of strategy to the game against Bolton. I think it would be a real statement if we can go out and beat one of those teams. You know, you asked if it's a statement to beat Bolton. Obviously, they're fancied, they're a big club, but I think Portsmouth and Lincoln are teams that have, you know, kind of consistently been at the top end of this division for a few years now. And if we go and, you know, get something at Fratton Park or obviously beat Lincoln, then I think that's something that we can really sort of hang our hat on, you know, in terms of our start to the season. But yeah, definitely in terms of Fleetwood, in terms of Gillingham, it's obviously opportunities for us to sort of, you know, even at this sort of quite early stage, they're quite, you know, it could be quite a big win in terms of the sort of overall season. And it'll be interesting to see sort of how we look compared to those teams as well, because I think, you know, Bolton obviously, you know, put us under immense pressure. You know, Burton had obviously a lot of opportunities against us when we obviously beat those teams. But if we can put in a performance where we're kind of comprehensively better than one of those two sides or one of those sorts of sides, then that's going to be a real, really encouraging point. So there's definitely points to be won, and hopefully more of the same.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you actually look at it, I was just even glancing a little bit further than that this end of September period, I think it's going to be a really crucial one for the Ewes. There's obviously the Fleetwood and Gillingham games you've just spoke about. There's Crewe away, who was winless at the time of recording. There's Morecambe away, which is going to be, everyone knows how big that game was always going to be, absolutely huge. And then Doncaster is going to be somewhere around then, who are also winless at the time of recording. So a lot of big games to come, a lot more podcasts, I'm sure, where we're singing the praises of Mark Bonner and his formations and his tactical ability. But for now, I think we'll leave it there. Matt, thanks very much for coming on for your first of the season. I'm sure we'll have you back again in the next few months.
Let's hope so, and let's hope it's on the back of more wins.
Too right. Tom, I'm sure I'll see you next week or the week after that.
So we'll do, and we'll be back again.